Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. My name is Abby Murphy.
And my name is Ryan Luckett.
And we are still working on an intro because one thing about us is that we came prepared. We had an intro ready. And
it was
then,
already done.
It was already, it sounded so good too when I edited it together. I literally spent, okay, I didn't spend like forever. I took like 15 minutes. But like also with the time it took us to film it and like redo it over and over again, it was probably like an hour and a half of work. And I had a really bad night before the podcast and accidentally deleted everything. But then I got most of our content back except for the intro and outro. So just bear with us because we were going to film the intro and outro today. But then would you like to tell the people what happened?
Well, we were about to start filming and Abby got a software update on her computer. Well, she had to download something to get a software yeah. Upload had to happen to get the app on the screen, whatever. And now we're here. It took about, I think we were going to start filming around 7 and it's like
8. Wait, let me check. It is 8:15. We sat down at a ripe 7 o'clock.
To be fair, though, it was probably good for us because I've been gone all weekend, so it was good to catch up.
Yeah, so let's catch up then. Let's tell the people. For those of you that don't know, since we don't have an intro yet, I am a student at Belmont University, 21 years old. I started this podcast like 3 years ago, and now the co-host is Ryan Luckett. Welcome. He is not my cousin.
Dun, 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 dun.
Not my brother.
Not your friend.
Not
not your uncle.
But my boyfriend.
And brother in Christ.
My brother from another mother, my bro, the best bro there is. Thanks for being a pal. Thanks for being a friend.
You're welcome.
So that's that on me. Would you like to tell them who you are?
Ryan Luckett.
Who just slammed his Sprite down. He's still
video
learning.
This video is sponsored by Sprite.
No, it's not. No ads for free. We don't do that here. You have to be careful when you put that down because remember how it makes noises?
Audio.
See, he's still learning the podcasting lifestyle. Also, I never listen back to, I'm really talking a lot. I'm going to let you take the floor, I swear. are you tired?
I mean, I'm not fully awake, but yeah, I'm here.
An hour ago, we were our best selves. Yeah. Actually, no, we weren't.
I'm not gonna lie, the software update deflated us a little bit.
We can get back. We can get it back. But here's the thing. Okay, so, what was I about to explain? It was something about Sprite and the pod. I don't remember. I guess it wasn't that important. Whatever. But anyways, that's me. Now it's your turn.
My name is Ryan Luckett. I'm the boyfriend of Abby Murphy. That's about it.
I'm going to shift this your way because I'm loud. And Ryan is...
What do you want me to tell him? What do you want me to say?
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I never listen back to the podcasts ever when it's just me. So I listened back to the podcast of us because I was like super eager of like, oh my gosh, like what's it going to be like? I'm so excited. And I sounded so rude. I don't know.
You don't ever sound rude. I think you just think you do.
Well, I just sounded like I had a little more sass to me than usual, I think, that day.
I don't think so.
I think I did.
You say like one like baby smart remark and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sassy. And it's like my comment every other 5 minutes.
I don't know. I just felt like I was like, dude, like, I don't know, just that's right, that's wrong, that's right, that's wrong. And I was just like,
I don't think so.
Also, my back kind of hurts.
We don't have backs today. Well, we don't have back rest.
We don't have backs today.
Sitting on a bed.
So here's my update of the week, everybody, to let you in on how I'm feeling. I'm sad. I'm not actually sad. I'm actually very happy. But at 2 o'clock yesterday, today's Sunday, yesterday is Saturday, and I just got so sad. Like, I don't know. Like, it just hit me literally at 2 o'clock. I was laying in sun on the hammock, and I just got so sad. And I was like, why am I sad? And then I just got angry, and I was like, why am I angry? And then it just, like, lingered. And then today it was fine. And then around, like, 5:30, I got sad again. And really hungry, and I've been having intense cravings. But for those of you that know, I've been open about my whole period story on this as well, but I still don't have a period, so I know it's not my period. So I'm like, what is going on? But I'm feeling sad right now, and in my feels. I almost started crying today because I was talking about wanting a Dalmatian, which is rude because Ryan wasn't supporting me in that. Can we dive into that?
I told her to get a dog. It's just not going to be a co-ownership.
You're the one that put getting a Dalmatian into my head.
Because that's my dog that I want.
Well, that's the dog that I want, so I don't really see an issue here.
I'm saying you can have a Dalmatian, but you just don't have a co-parent.
Well, that's fine, but I need someone to get me the Dalmatian.
You have great parents.
Okay, not you saying all of this and then me, and then you also saying if I were to get you a Dalmatian, you would take care of it.
I would, if somebody gifted me a Dalmatian.
So I'll gift you a Dalmatian. Point, I don't see the problem here.
So, but why wouldn't you just gift yourself one then?
Because I can't buy it for myself, my mom would get mad. But if you bought it for me, she wouldn't get mad at you. My mom loves you.
I'm not buying a dog right now.
You don't have to buy a dog for yourself. Buy a dog for your girlfriend.
All right. I'll put that in the notes.
Okay. But anyway, see, even talking about it right now, like, I want to cry. I'm, like, upset by that.
I just gave a little shake to the head.
Like, I don't know why. I'm, like, so fixated on, like, all these little things that are just making me sad for the past, like, 24 hours, and I don't even know what it is. Like,
that's
I don't know.
That's how I felt last night for any guys listening, during the Lakers-Warriors game, whenever they were playing last night, and they stopped the game for, like, 13 minutes, and they had, like, 2 seconds of game time. I don't know if we want to talk about that, but I was sad during that.
You can go ahead and talk about it. Go ahead.
So, last night, LeBron hit a three in the corner to bring us within four. It was like a minute 50 left or something. And they went to the review to review it because he stepped out of bounds before the shot. And eventually, they got the review right and said LeBron stepped on the line, so they called it out of bounds and they took the three away.
I'd just like to add in here, I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, Abby has no idea what's happening right now. But so I just needed to vent because she just vented.
Go ahead.
They took that away, which was fine. I didn't think the Lakers were going to win anyway. But what ended up being a beautiful Steph versus LeBron duel, like old times, like Cavs versus Warriors, it was amazing.
Amazing.
The shot clock stopped working. So me, Brant, and Trent were watching the game, and they would start the game over, and the shot clock wouldn't start.
Not the shot clock?
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then time would go off the clock, and then they would have to go back.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Back to the review, and it ended up being, it was like 13 minutes of time wasted trying to fix the shot clock.
Sorry. I'm trying to be invested, and it's coming off sarcastic. But
I just needed to get that off my chest. Not to mention the Lakers have lost two straight. So that's why I'm sad.
Sensitive subject. Well, you know why I'm sad? Because my boyfriend, my sweet, sweet boyfriend, did the one thing that gives me the ick. Can I expose this on the pod?
What is it?
Well, I guess I'll say it. I'll just go ahead and say it since you're not saying no. Better ask forgiveness than ask for permission, I guess.
I don't know what I did.
My sweet, sweet, sweet boyfriend got a, what's it called, a penalty? A wild card.
People will love this. I got a technical foul in the men's league game.
He got a technical foul. Okay. He told me that and I was like, congratulations. And then dad was like, no, that means that he like lost his temper.
Abby was like, good job.
And no, I,
was
like, I know what a foul is, but I was like, a technical foul, maybe he like stepped out of bounds or something, or like, I don't know. Like when you hear technical foul, it sounds like technical, like something in the rules or something. So anyways, so I was like, oh, well, that stinks. And so then he texted me and he was like, this game is dumb, you don't even need to come. I was like, okay, because he plays for like rec basketball. So anyways, so I told dad that he got a technical foul, being like, yeah, he's upset he got a technical foul. Dad was like, oh. And I was like, what does that even mean? And he was like, he probably hit someone. I was like, what? He was like, he probably threw a punch. I was like, no. He was like, no, but he probably did lose his temper. I was like, no, 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 no. And for all the girls, okay, listen, this is my ick, which I guess this can be for guys too, if you like have someone, but just being overly competitive about things that you don't need to be overly competitive about, like example, now I'm not saying to not be competitive in rec basketball. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, I'm all for being passionate about things.
This is a rant.
This is, yeah, it is. And it's a podcast. People, this is what people sign up for.
That's right.
Fine, I won't say anything.
No, keep going. I just want to tell my technical foul story afterwards.
Okay, fine. Anyways, I just need to let my feelings out first. So anyways, comma, close parentheses, going back to the topic.
X Ryan out.
Is that my ick is people being overly competitive about non-competitive things. Example, high school boys in PE when they get butt hurt and start crying about losing a PE game of like volleyball.
You know something. What we call those?
What?
Oh, getting an alarm.
We call See, those... this is what I'm talking about, is that sweet Ryan is still learning the ways of the podcast that we have to turn our phone.
We call those we call those PE All Americans.
Yeah, whatever that. Why? Oh, PE All Americans. That's funny. It's just like people that put their identity on like, well, anything other than the Lord, but that's like a really serious topic. But like, it's like your heart and soul is literally attached to like badminton in fifth grade PE class. I'm like, bro, sorry, that's kind of rude, but it's just an ick of mine, okay? I'm not saying it's fact. I'm just saying these are my opinions. So when Ryan told me the reason he got his technical foul, which I'll let you explain, I was like, oh my gosh, which I bet if I was there it would have been fine, like whatever, and this is a people silly ick, but anyways, you can take it away. That was just, it's like my worst nightmare. I'm like, no. But now it's fine, and now we're back and better than ever, and we're just friends again. So
I'm glad we're friends again. Yeah, we're so friends again. I play rec league basketball. The last game, this was on Tuesday. This is Tuesday of this week.
Mm-hmm.
I got in, and this is probably all within like 3 minutes of the first half. So I just want to let you guys know that. I pick up my first foul, offensive foul, whatever. It was a foul. Next foul, fouled the guy. It was a foul. So the first two fouls were like legit. And so I was a little worried to pick up a third.
You got sun.
I did get sun. Oh, I was a little worried to pick up a third. And, I was at the top of the key and like did a, like a little behind the back move, and the guy like fell, and like I may have used my body a little bit, but he kind of flopped, and the referee, I looked back and the referee calls a charge, and I look at the referee and I look at the kid on the ground, and not proud of this, but I take the ball and I throw it at him.
Oh, Ryan.
And it wasn't a hard throw, but I did throw it at him. Mm-hmm. And it may have hit him in the private parts.
Not your best moment.
I was like the first 3 minutes of the rec game that I was in.
I'm just picturing this of like you being like, and like throwing it and being like, and storming.
When have I ever went?
But that's just how I'm picturing it in my head, because I'm making it worse in my head.
Anyways, I go to the bench and they haven't even called the technical foul yet. Like, and so I'm on the bench. I have my third foul, so I get taken out of the game, or somebody subs me out. And I'm sitting on the bench, and I had already went cross-legged. I was just going to chill for the rest of the half until the next.
Y'all need to tune into the YouTube video for this, because he's demonstrating as he's saying these things, just so you can get a picture if you're listening to audio only. Go ahead. I was just plugging.
It's interruptions after interruptions.
I just want to remind the people that I'm here.
You got your first 10 minutes in.
Okay, I'll listen. You're right.
And
I just like attention.
You done?
Yes, I'm done. Go.
And so I'm sitting on the bench, and the other referee like runs over to the other one, and he's like, they're like talking, and next thing I know, he like looks at the scores table and does the T sign and like points at me on the bench, and I'm like, did y'all go to the review center in a rec league game? But I didn't say that. I was just like, I wore it. And I was like, yep, I deserve it. And picked up 4 fouls in about 3 minutes of my rec league game.
Is that normal?
That's not normal. It's not even normal to pick up 3, and I picked up a 4th.
In a normal game or in rec game?
Either.
Oh, really?
It's not normal.
And you got 4? What's like average, like 1?
Well, somebody might pick up 4 in a whole game. I picked up 4 in the first like 3 minutes on the floor.
Why do you pick them up?
Well, I like got them.
Oh. That's really hard. How did you overcome that?
We ended up winning. They didn't need me too much.
That's true. And then you came home to a nice cooked meal from your sweet girlfriend.
That's right. And it was beautiful.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you to say that. And crumble. That was the night I got crumble. Oh, I didn't even make you food. I ate at home. And then we went and did crumble.
Oh, yeah. That was the crumble review.
Yeah, because Josh was over. Our friend Josh stayed with Ryan. Ryan didn't even know that Josh was going to stay with him for like 4 days. But I had invited Ryan to come. I mean, invited Josh to come surprise Ryan to like hang out with us and a bunch of friends for his birthday. And then he was like, surprise. Can I also stay with you now? And Ryan was like, sure. And he ended up staying for like 4 days.
That was fun.
Yeah. If anybody knows the Josh that we're talking about, I'm not going to add him on the podcast, but you need to text him right now and tell him to move to Bowling Green.
That's right. He'll be here. He'll be here back in August.
Really? Yeah. He'll be here before.
Well,
Bowling Green is just one of those best kept secrets.
It really is. Like I was gone this weekend and Brant was talking it up, which.
Yeah, it's like, okay, listen, it doesn't compare to a beach town. I'm just going to say that. I love warm weather. I love constantly good warm weather and like access to a beach and water. However, Bowling Green is like the perfect mix of like small town vibes, but like part of civilization, if that makes sense. Like it's not small enough to be like, oh, we only have a Dollar General for like miles and miles. And that's like the closest, because I feel like small town is like, yeah, we have a Walmart and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot there. But it's not like Nashville where it's like so packed in traffic all the time. It's like a great place to raise your kids because there's like the slow parts and then you get into like where the main stuff is and there's like everything there and then we have a sweet little downtown that feels so small. That's the best part. And it's everything here is like local. Like people love supporting local. Yeah. Like I very rarely if I'm like going to get coffee or even like in the summers, like I'll go to the farmer's market instead of the grocery store, like just trying to get every opportunity. Like if I need a candle, I'll go to like the square instead of like a chain.
It's super cool too, because like Bowling Green downtown, like the downtown area is so like cool, small town. And then, like,
it's like Gilmore Girls.
There's a main road of Scott. It's called Scottsville Road. And it's like, you would think it's in a major city because there's literally everything and there's literally a ton of everything. Traffic.
It's just like, it's just a great place. But it wasn't the Bowling Green that I grew up with because Ryan lived here, obviously, for college. But then he, like, came back after college. So you've only been here, what, like 6 years?
Less than that. This
5 years?
4. So because I was only here 3 years for college.
Yeah. And I've lived here since I was 7.
Yeah.
No, 8.
And I was here from 19 to 22, and then came back in late 23.
And, like, Bowling Green started growing, I'd say probably my junior year. But, honestly, these past, like, 2 years of me being away at college, like, it, like, blew up. Like, I swear, every time I came back to visit, because I wouldn't really visit home that often. And then I would, like, come back to visit, and I was like, what the heck? There's, like, 8 million new places. There's like
businesses.
4 new cookie shops, 5 new banks, 2 new roundabouts. Like, what is going on? And now they just continue to build and build and build. I'm like, what? Like, where is Bowling Green going? And now it's like on all these lists of like biggest growing cities. And I don't know.
Let's check your resources on that one.
I saw it on a reel. So that means that it's actually real. Okay. Last time I asked you a fun question about food, and now I want you to ask me a fun question before we get into our topic of today.
Oh, okay.
Because this is how things go, is that Ryan and I will sometimes sit and talk over dinner, and I'll just start asking random questions, and then he'll ask me random questions, and it's super-duperty fun. And now it's time to do one on spot, which I didn't prepare him for this.
Yeah. Okay, right now, you have to go to a fast food place and eat something. Where are you going, and what are you getting?
If I am hungry, or like how I'm feeling right now?
Oh, right now. Let's do right now.
Okay, well, we just had dinner and dessert, so...
Okay, hungry, because that's true.
Because I'm like, I don't know, I'd probably just go get like water from Sonic or something. No, you have to get food. Okay, if I have to get food and I'm hungry and I'm going to a fast food place, are we counting fast food as like strictly... Like anywhere that's offered with a drive-thru?
Yeah.
Anywhere I could drive through.
It's got to be... It's got to be, like, people know the chain, so let's do chain. Like, you can't pick, like, Burger and Bowl. That's cheating.
Oh, okay.
That's a local place.
But I could pick, like, Panera.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it's more, like, upscale.
No, I think that's upscale, but it's fast food still.
If I have to get fast food right now, dang, I wish Blaze was fast food. That's, like, casual dining.
Yeah.
I guess, like, really casual dining.
Great place.
Dang, I guess I wish I could say Donato's. I would go for pizza, but there's no like fast food pizza place. So I guess honestly right now I almost got Subway today, which is odd for me because I would say really the only fast food place I eat is Chick-fil-A and like occasionally Panera. I thought
that's what you were going to say.
But I don't know. I've been craving a sub sandwich, like a fat sub sandwich or a wrap.
A nice sub.
A sub on the beach. We need to do that when we go to the beach. We need to get a fat, like, sub. There's something about that slightly salty, like, slightly soggy sandwich on the beach. You know what I mean?
Like a pub sub.
Like, you just get out of the ocean and your fingers have a little bit of salt on them and you just grab the sandwich and then it makes it, like, slightly soggy and you're just like, oh. There is nothing better except for the shower after the beach. That's the only thing better.
Shower after the beach is the best feeling.
Yeah. So my answer would be a Subway wrap. I would get a spinach wrap and get a bunch of veggies.
Brand's going to love that.
Some white, like, vinegar stuff and that, and just a fat veggie wrap.
Okay.
Your turn.
If I'm just not thinking about health... I'm going to McDonald's.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's the best. You can't
get Big Mac.
No, I'm going to get my classic, my Rin Lake classic. I'm going to go McDouble, no onion, McChicken, large fry, 10-piece nugget, and a large Diet Coke.
That's crazy. Wow. Wait, how many meals was that?
That was my dinner.
I know, but what all did you get?
McDouble, no onion.
So that's like, okay, a sandwich.
McChicken.
Sandwich. Another sandwich.
Large fry.
Okay.
10-piece nugget.
Another, okay. So that's like three entrees and a large fry. Dang, boy could put down some food.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no judgment here. I'm all for eating as much as you can, but I feel like with the quantities you eat now, that's like a lot, kind of, no?
I could throw down some McDonald's.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There's nothing better than the Golden Arch.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to get hate.
Abby goes, Whole Foods.
Okay, but here's the thing is that I got hate on we've been posting a lot of reels, and I got, like, low-key hated on the Crumble video.
I don't think you did.
People, no, not actually, but, like, baby, I got my first taste of cyberbullying. No, people were just like, this girl's lame, like, or what did someone say? They were like... She's just a hater. That's what they said.
Yeah. You weren't a fan of really any of the cookies.
Someone said, yes, I was. I was a fan of the marshmallow one, but we didn't put the part where I was like, oh, this one's my favorite.
Yeah. We're gonna
But we put the part where you said pancake was your favorite, and then the part where I was like,
well, I said my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Buttermilk pancake is undefeated.
This is what's going to happen is, like, our content is going to start growing, and people are going to know me as the hater and you as the good guy, and that's going to be our dynamic, and I'm going to be, like, the sassy little
no
one, and then you're going to... Honestly, though, I feel like there is... Actually, no. I feel like if there was like a sassy one and a soft one, I don't know. I guess
definitely be you would be the soft one.
See, I was gonna say that too, but I think we're both soft. I'm just louder and you're just quieter.
I think you're just like naturally more sensitive.
Yeah. You're better at saying like no. And I'm like, oh, but what if I could just, what if we can, you know? But that's not necessarily sassy. That's just like having good boundaries. I don't think either one of us.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
See, this is what I'm saying. It just keeps going. My brain just keeps going. There was this podcast I was listening to, and he was like, I think I have ADHD because I just keep talking about new topics all the time.
And I was like, never the same topic.
I was like,
Abby and I will be in a conversation. Like, she will send me a text message, and I will reply to the message, and then she'll just say the same thing that she said.
Okay, but, like, in my brain, it makes sense.
Like, she'll be like, hey, and I'll be like, hi, and she'll say, hey, Rhino. And I was like, do I send another hi, or do I say what's up?
Well, I also just, like, haven't looked at my phone.
Yeah, but, I mean, still continue the conversation.
You know what is the thing about phones?
Let's talk about phones.
Is that people are addicted to them.
Oh. People can be addicted to phones?
People can be addicted to a lot of things. And that's what we're going to talk about today is, say it with me, addiction. Oh, he whispered it because he wanted to be creepy with that. We're going to talk about addiction today because we've been talking a lot about our lives. But just to keep you guys updated, that's kind of like how we want the flow of things to be, is like the first chunk, half of it, to just be like updates, our lives, whatever. And then the real meat of it to be focused on like the topic that we're talking about. And today's topic is going to be addiction. And we have a couple of verses, a couple of notes, a couple of things that we want to touch on, share some personal experiences, and just how the Lord has renewed that part of our lives and used those broken parts of us and parts of the world, humanity as a whole, and used it to just fuel our ministry and fuel our, I mean, at least I can say for myself, like my platform. I mean, I've talked a lot about like my workout addiction and eating disorder and a bunch of stuff that we'll dive into. But again, this is all very new for Ryan as well, sharing this since kind of opened up a lot about it. So I'm excited for everyone to hear what we both have to say on the topic of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I need to cough and then pray. I feel better now.
I don't know why, but as soon as you coughed, I went for a fake cough. Like, I don't know why. People are going to be like, what did you do?
Okay, let's bow our heads and wherever you're at, just join us. I ask you to join us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. We invite you into this conversation, and please just bless these words, bless the hearts of the listener, and open their hearts to receive your words, Lord. Help us speak slowly, intentionally, and listen first to you before sharing and butting in. And please help us not become overly confident in our abilities, but fully rely on you. And because ultimately we can't do it without you. And so we thank you for showing up to be with us every day, and especially now. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Addiction. Let's talk about it. If there was a dictionary definition of addiction in your head, how would you define addiction?
I would say something that you are overcome by.
But I could be overcome by, like, emotion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry my definition wasn't good
enough
for you.
No, I'm just, like, trying to, like, open up, like, being overcome in a bad way.
Yeah, so something that has overcome you and you cannot live without it, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's look up the exact definition of addiction.
Like, when I think of addiction, I think of like negative connotation. Oh, did it come up with
it came up with a hotline.
Oh, well, Thanks, Google. That's
the
really
fact
sweet.
Or condition of being addicted.
It's crazy because today I was talking to, we had a new girl sing in worship today in kids ministry, and she was talking about how she's going into a therapy, and she, right now she's working with people who are suffering with addictions. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about all the addictions that she worked with, and she was like, yeah, whether it's drugs, alcohol, your phone. I was like, your phone? We're all addicted to our phones. And she was like, no, this is people who it can't not be on their body. They have a full-on panic attack if they don't have their phone.
I saw something. I don't know if this is true. This may have just been a fake video on Twitter. But apparently, the Chinese government is allowed to, if kids are, not getting off of their phone, they can send in the military and, take them away.
What?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I saw a video of it.
No way.
Yeah, if the parents, think that they can't, they're a lost cause, basically, and can't get off of their phone, and they just sit in bed all day and they're on their, electronics. They can, bring in the military and, take them and, send them to some boot camp.
Thoughts on that?
I think it's a little harsh. Maybe we can go into some baby steps.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't see why the parents couldn't just take away the electronics.
Okay, so let me ask you. First, I want to hear your personal experience, because I know majority, but I feel like constantly when you go back into your past, there's more details that you could open up about.
Mm-hmm.
Just constantly things you remember. So where have you struggled with addiction? And yeah, kind of open that up.
Yeah,
that
I would say my biggest addiction struggle was definitely whenever I was, viewing pornography every day. I think that is, and I think that's, if there's a guy listening, I feel like that is, I don't know what the percentages are. I've read books on it and stuff. A lot of the dating books you read have the
mm-hmm.
data on it, but it's an overwhelming number of people that are addicted to or watching pornography
was
daily.
93%.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's over 90%.
And I think, honestly, more than I thought of that percentage is women. And even, I think it was 85% or something was college students.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 13. This is all in the book. I'm getting all these percentages wrong, but it's all in the book. It's the book I gave you by David Platt. It's by David Platt.
Counterculture.
Mm-hmm. Counterculture by David Platt. He has all the percentages. He has a whole chapter on pornography. And I think it was 60-something percent, maybe 80-something percent. I have no idea. A large percentage of pornography was from sex trafficking.
Mm.
And so it's your chances of funding sex trafficking through your pornography addiction, which this is an outsider saying that. I mean, obviously you have more to say on getting over an addiction like that. But just even that thought, I don't know, it just kind of chills you. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, whenever you realize what you are watching, it can,
yeah,
that can ultimately change everything initially, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Once you actually realize what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But yeah, I in 1 Corinthians, your mom sent us this verse, and I feel like it's very fitting for, it says, I have the right, Paul says this, it's in 1 Corinthians 6:12, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. I think that's so good whenever you're, talking about something that, has maybe a control over you. When thinking about something that you're mastered by, I mean, Jesus calls us to surrender everything.
Mm.
Everything. And it was in the sermon today that I was listening to, I was in Illinois at Cornerstone Church, and the pastor was talking about the cost of following Jesus, and not just being a fan of Jesus, but being an actual devoted follower of him. And he was explaining it like this. I forget what verses he was using, but it was about the one where Jesus is teaching, and he's using a hyperbole about how you should hate your family. Because in comparison to what you feel about Jesus and how you put him above everything, in that comparison is hating somebody because he is above everything else. So we are, and I'll look up the verses.
Wait, I don't get it.
So it's Luke 14. Let me pull it up.
So he's saying you should hate. I think I just missed. I think I might have dozed off. You should hate your family.
Well,
I'm just trying to connect. Like, you should love God so much that you hate your family?
You're taking the hyperbole is saying something really extreme to get the attention of somebody.
Right.
So he's saying, like, whenever you compare your love for Jesus and how you should love God because he is so holy and so powerful, that it would look like hate compared to how you treat your family. Yeah, and I can't remember the first. I'm trying to find the cost of being a disciple. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And he's not saying, like, oh, you should hate your parents because you love Jesus. He's saying that because Jesus is just so high and so much bigger than any earthly relationship you have, it's going to look like hate. Or it's going to look like hate. I'd say that in quotations because obviously there's so many verses before that telling you love your neighbor, love your children, and how beautiful marriage is and all that. And he explained that too really well, but he also explained like the importance of like, and I say all that because we're talking about being mastered by something, and that just shows like what it really does cost to follow Jesus is to lay everything out to the side and put Jesus in his high point.
So then when did you come to that point?
Well, yeah, I think the easy answer is like, oh, I chose, or I followed Jesus, so my addiction went away and all my problems went away. I would say I got to that point. As a follower of Jesus, some of the most powerful words I ever heard were "me too." And I was talking to, I can't remember who was I talking to? I can't remember who it was, but it was a friend of mine. And I had never opened up about really like my past in that way. Like I would tell, you know, certain things that I'd been set free from and Jesus had set me free from, and, you know, things that I didn't struggle with anymore, but things that I struggled with now, it was like I had to muster up the strength to let them go before telling anybody. And so I finally, I don't know, God laid it on my heart to talk about it. And it was so crazy to hear someone say, like, you know, I was like, oh, I struggle with maybe, I was like, I probably said it like, oh, I've like lust after women and I've maybe looked at it before. And I probably said it like that. And he was like, yeah, me too. I've struggled with that before too. I was like, wait, what? Like, you're a Christian. Like, you love Jesus so much. Like, you've been following him way longer than I have. How do you struggle with something like that? And it was like, whoa, like, this isn't like some country club where, you know, people are just going to judge you for like the issues that you have, but it's a hospital to get well, the church is.
So how do you not stay content in like the me too of like, oh, we both have these struggles? Cause there is, cause I like, community is so important, because the me too part of like struggling with an addiction, especially one that severe, is, are you looking at your notifications right now?
Sorry, I gotta work Slack.
Oh. Bro, it's not the time for that.
Sorry about that.
Talking about addictions, phone addictions, this guy. The me too of it is so important, but I feel like it's easy to get stuck in that comfort of being like, yeah, like we are struggling and we can help each other through it, but we both are struggling. You know what I mean? And so you just kind of stay there. Because you're like, well, the Lord loves me. And, like, he will always love you. It's not like he never won't love you. But how do you continue to be like, no, but I need to get rid of this. Like, this needs, you know. Like, living in that struggle is almost like a comfort sometimes.
Oh, it is. Yeah, because whenever you say you might be doing great, you know, it feels so good. You're on this high after you, you know, had a great conversation with somebody. And then you're by yourself laying down that night and your phone's right next to you. And it's like, oh, this is going to, like, help me sleep right. or something.
It's not even that big of a deal in your head. And then you, like,
right, nobody's
wake
here.
Up the next day and you're like, oh, and then it just, the pattern repeats until it's right back where it was and it's just, like, normal.
Yeah. So what was the question?
So, like, how do you not do that? You know?
Yeah, I think it's important to, in, are you meaning, like, why would we not do that? Like, why would we not just keep doing it?
Well, I mean, my thought process is like, okay, take my story, for example. Like, I've struggled with eating disorders, which is addiction to not feeding yourself, and then orthorexia, which is addiction to obsessively working out and eating healthy. And I fell into the habit of like, oh, I want to do better. I'll do better tomorrow, until finally it was like...
That's the lie of the enemy.
Right, it was excuses of like, well, this is good for my body, so why wouldn't the Lord want this? Even though, like, I was feeling convicted of, like, you are idolizing something above the Lord to a point to where it is detrimental to your health and you're actually counteracting what's good for you. But I got comfortable in the fact of the excuses that my convictions were so muffled that I couldn't hear what the Lord was actually saying to me because I was cluttering my mind with all the lies of the enemy and believing those things. And so I got comfortable in it to where I remained content in that and then stopped wanting to, quote unquote, get better because I just stayed in the excuses until it felt comfortable. So, like, what do we do to not get to that point? Because that's a scary point to get where you're so comfortable in your addiction that you can't hear your convictions.
You become a slave to your own desires.
Unpack that.
Well, that's exactly what you just said, is that it got so comfortable that you not only were, you know, just saying one more time, or I'll worry about it tomorrow, is that you were such a slave to what you desired that you were just putting everything else to the side and saying, okay, I desire this right now, so I'm going to do this and I'm going to please that.
But that's what I'm saying is like, which I don't know if this is an answer we have or not, but how do we not do that? Like, that's my question. Because I sit here and think like, oh, it is so comfortable to, if I have someone to sit down and there is nothing like sitting down with someone and being like, you had an eating disorder, I had an eating disorder. And we instantly understand a part of each other that not everybody understands. But if we both sat down and said, like, I have an eating disorder, it's like we both understand the toxicity of our brains and the lies that we're believing, that it's almost like, oh, well, there's someone else out there like me, so it's okay. So I'm going to stay here.
I see what you're saying.
And it's like, but it's not. But how do you tell someone whose brain is already, for a lack of better words, like, infected with the lies of the enemy? Like, how do you...
So they got to a point where they confessed it. So they know something's wrong.
And they find someone that meets them where they're at.
So you got to start... So you got to start taking practical steps on how you're going to... You don't just confess and keep doing what you're doing because that would honestly be considered insanity because you're repeating the same thing over and over.
So it really
again.
Is just a mental choice.
Well, the thing is you can't just confess and not replace. You have to start replacing it with something that is going to be a holy habit for... That was good. That was cliche.
That was good.
But yeah, so you have to replace that negative with a positive because if you just talk about the negative, it's going to continue to be a negative. The lie of one last time, I think Jonathan Pakluta said this before, but the lie of one last time is that you're only feeding something and it's growing. So the lie that, oh, I'll just watch this one last time and I'll stop. You're feeding something and it's growing and your appetite for it is growing more and more.
I think it's so, the way the brain works is so, like, the way God interwove or, like, created the brain, I don't know what the word was, like, intricately made the brain is so interesting to me because, like, there have been times where, and I'm just relating everything to, like, my addiction to working out. It was, like, a really big struggle around COVID, but I got to the point to where like, I would confess the things I was doing that I knew was wrong. And so I felt so, like, empowered by that. And, like, oh my goodness, I'm confessing. Like, I'm getting better because I'm telling people. But my actions wouldn't change. Mm. Like, my actions would stay the same because I was like, well, I'm getting better because I'm telling people.
Hmm.
And that's so odd to think about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just yeah. telling people you can... almost like trick yourself into thinking that you're actively taking steps to get to getting better, which that is a step. Confession, I think, is like realizing and stating the problem that you have or the problem that you've like realized, like, oh, I'm idolizing something or I'm addicted to something or fill in the blank of something that revolves around addiction or placing anything above the Lord. Like, that is the first step, I feel like, of like verbalizing it out of your head and accepting it. However, that's what I'm saying is like, it's just so easy to stay there. Like, at some point, you've got to say...
that's good.
Okay, Lord, like, I'm giving this up to you. Like, you really have to put your life out of your control. Like, literally hand him the reins. Because addiction, all addictions... this is a very blanket statement, but I'm kind of going on a tangent here. But, like, anything we're addicted to is... at the center root of it is just a need for control. Like, if you really think about it, like, think about when you go through hard times, you want to go back to that addiction that you have because it's comfort. Why is it comfortable? Because you can control it. And when our bodies, like, as human beings feel out of control, we want to resort to what we know we can control. Hmm. And for me, that was food. For you, that was the happy jollies or whatever, getting pleasure. Whatever. Yeah. And happy sorry, jollies. I don't know. Pleasure. I don't know. That's not my realm. But you know what I mean? Like... when you were in distress, it was like, I need something to relieve that.
So, yeah, no, that's good. So practical steps would be, you know, talk to somebody. Like, that is the first step. And I'm telling you right now, I used to meet with somebody weekly. And we talked about how they were struggling with the same thing that I used to struggle with. And I never thought that I would be on the other side of that table telling them, and giving them advice on what I was struggling with, because I never thought I would get over it. You know, you never think you're going to get over something like that when you're really trying to get over it.
So like and crowded, and it's just like
I have you don't even want to start somewhere. And we talked about it like you're going to be on the other side of this table talking to somebody else.
But if you were to say that to the Ryan that was like on the other side of the table, you would have been like, bro,
like, yeah, you're funny.
So I think there are tactics like for the friend that is helping someone get out of that addiction or for the person that was like, yeah, I've been there. I think there are also tactics of like, first, yes, meet them where they're at and stay there for a little bit. And like the Bible says, like, mourn with those who mourn, like sit with them where they're at. Like Jesus met people where they were at. He didn't come at them and say like, hey, I'm the ultimate. Well, he did say I'm like the savior and sent here, but like, he met people where they were at. He got to their level and then healed them and helped them. And like, I'm not saying be Jesus. No one can be Jesus, but like, he is the ultimate example of how we should demonstrate like our ministries and live our lives. And so what I am saying for the person that wants to help that person struggling or that has an addiction, and I believe we all have something we've been addicted to and can always resort back to that the devil chooses to like tempt us with. And I think it's just so beautiful of the Lord to be able to take those times and use that to build a friendship or find a mentor and someone that can help motivate you and push you in a positive direction. Whether you are that someone or need that someone is just one way of how the Lord can turn your grave into a garden, like the song, like turn mourning into dancing. Like if you're stuck in that I'll never get to the other side of the table feeling, know that you will be there, but like you have to start with where you're at and set a blueprint. Like I always like to compare things with like fitness. Say I have an addiction, right? I have an addiction, I need to get out of it. I've realized that. Same as fitness. Okay, I need to get fit. I need to get healthy. Like, I want to make that a goal. You're not just going to sit there and say like, okay, I need to make that a goal. And now I feel comfortable that I verbalized that. You're going to set out a plan. You're going to write a plan. You're going to do a schedule. I think it's the same thing. It's kind of like set up a game plan for yourself to be like, okay, no phone in the bed. No, I mean, Jonathan Bakluta says don't even have a phone. If you're struggling with porn, don't even have a phone because you're just carrying it around in your back pocket. But there are tactical ways. You just have to like set that plan for yourself. And like, yeah, it's going to be hard. Like working out is hard and painful. And then you feel better after. I mean, it's kind of, there are a lot of parallels, I feel like. I don't know.
No, that's really good. I was going to go into like practical steps too. Like people will say, well, I'm say like, for my case, yours was different, but like I had the pornography addiction. It's like, okay, so where are you viewing pornography? Well, I'm viewing it on my phone. Do you have blockers on the sites? No. Do you have somebody checking your history? No. When do you use your phone? Anytime I want. It's like, well, no wonder you are still struggling with that. And I don't laugh and like lie of it, but it's like you have to start taking, like she's saying, you have to start taking practical steps. Mm. And, you know, it's like if you were struggling with alcoholism and you were addicted to alcohol, you wouldn't go to bed every night and pour yourself a glass of bourbon and sit it on your nightstand and be like, man, I really hope I don't drink this. Mm. Like, oh, well, I use it for an alarm clock. Alarm clocks, they're like basically giving alarm clocks away now. So you can just go buy one of those. Hmm. So I think that's, you have to start eliminating what you're using.
I think also don't discredit like how much the enemy is going to try to feed you lies that feel like, oh, no, this is the right thing. This is the right thing. Like, hmm. For so long, I mean, there are so many things that I believed, like, thinking back to now, like, in the moment, I was literally like, this is right. Like, this is right. And now that I'm removed out of it, I was like, oh my gosh, I was so filled up with so many things other than the Lord and His words. No wonder I believed lies because I was feeding myself lies. And, you know, I am relating everything back to food and exercise because that was my addiction. But it was like, wow, that was a really big...
That was so aggressive. That was
a really big crack.
I wonder if they heard that.
No, I specifically remember, like, I was running one day and the Lord was like, stop. And I was like, I just kept running. I was like, what the heck? Like, that's weird. And I was like, running is good for me. Like, everyone, like, working out is good for you. Like, and he was just like, just don't try to hide your addiction behind the fact that something's good for you. Because an addiction is anything, or an idol or an addiction is anything that you spend more time doing other than spending it with the Lord. Like, does that make sense? Like, an idol is anything you hold above the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
And like, I was spending way more time exercising than I was with the Lord. And he was like, reality check, sister. Just because the world tells you working out is good for you doesn't mean that with your relationship with me, that's what should take priority. Mm. And I was like, whoa. This is crazy. So, like, if you're going to be addicted to anything, be addicted to reading your Bible. Be addicted to, like use that empty space of ridding yourself of that addiction and fill it with the Word. Fill it with prayer. Fill it with community. Go to the church. Get out of your environment that you're used to doing those triggering things in. I don't know. That's my word of encouragement.
That's good. I would say, too, the hardest thing for me was to confess it in the moment. Like, whenever I was, you know, it's easy to do it whenever you go to a coffee shop with a friend and it's not bothering you and you don't have a temptation. But when that temptation comes, immediately texting somebody or immediately calling somebody and saying, "Hey, man, I'm getting tempted, and I have this desire. I really just want to confess it to you right now. Could you pray for me?" Because James says, I pulled James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So call on your brothers and sisters in Christ. So that would be the first thing too. I guess we didn't even mention that, but call on your brothers and sisters in Christ and go be with them during that time.
Yeah.
Or just, even just call. Just send a message.
Especially because in those times, like, you don't have enough strength for yourself. Like, you've got to open up to someone else that can have strength for you.
That's good.
Because we're not meant to walk through this life alone. And with that being said, like, we're talking a lot about, like, being in the addiction or helping someone in the addiction. But, like, okay, now being... And I, again, like, I feel like we constantly are fighting addictions and idols in our lives of... You know what I mean?
Constantly, like, fighting, putting something above God.
Like, right now, it's my phone. Like, I am on my phone way more than I am with the Lord. Like, 100%. And I'm not proud of it. And I laugh because it's like, haha, like, silly, whatever. But, like, it's actually demonic. Like, any power that isn't of the Lord is not of the Lord. And the Lord is the light of the world. So anything else is darkness. Darkness is demonic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, okay, Abby, you're being crazy. But it's like, yeah, I am. Because it's crazy. Like, it is. I don't know. Maybe no, I sound crazy, but...
No, you don't sound crazy
at all. You have to be drastic and, like, look at what the stakes literally are. Like, if Jesus comes back right now, I don't want to be scrolling through my feed.
Yeah.
And so, my transition into what I wanted to get to, because I'm squirrel brain and I just go off on tangents, is now that we're removed from those places of our lives of being so deep in the pit, like, it's very easy for us to sit here and be like... open up, tell people, blah, 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 like, do these things. Yet in the moment, it was so hard. But being, so, like, we do sympathize and know how you feel if you're, like, in the midst. But for the person who is out of that, like, have you felt temptations? Are there things you have to do now where you have to, like, stay on guard? Or is it very easy for you to step back into those places and not feel tempted? Like, where is the shift now from Ryan then to Ryan now that you are on the other side of the table?
I would say it's a day-by-day thing, but it doesn't ever just go away. Like, it's something where we take up our cross daily on that aspect, and we die to ourselves daily. And I think Jesus's grace in that and telling us to... was it Jesus that said that, or maybe somebody else? I think it was Jesus. But, like... He told us to do it daily, and he told us to renew our mind. So it's a renewal. It's a every day we are renewing our mind on Jesus, and we're picking up our cross for Jesus, because it doesn't just end because, oh, I got over this, so I can just, I'm good. My life is fine, and I follow Jesus now, and I don't have struggles. No, that's not the case. And that's something that I had to learn. Like, I just thought that once I started following Jesus, my life was just going to be easy. And I had this secret power in me that, you know, like, oh, nothing can, you know, nothing can happen to me. But we're still in this world, and we're still in this dark world. So temptations are going to come, and, you know, the enemy is going to try and stretch your relationship with God and try and get in between that and wedge it. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard somebody say it, like, I have to have my back up against the wall, double bolted, a lock on there, and there's, like, a lion on the other side of the door. And if I allow myself to watch something, or if I allow myself to see something on my phone or on a screen, it's like I just, took my back off the door, unlocked every single one, and was like, all right, lion, come on in.
Yeah, I think also, like, the devil isn't going to come after a weak horse. Like, he's not going to choose someone who's struggling to chase after, to, like, get him into his army.
And who are you hanging out with?
Well, there's that. That's a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah, that's important, though. We can talk about that another time.
You are so influenced by the people you're surrounded by. I think that's so important, though. But, I mean, I feel like you can touch on this more, but, like, the friends you had, even before you were a believer, when you were on your own, or like in high school, like their morals and values, I guess, from what you've explained to me, are totally different from like the people that you hang out with now.
Bad morals and corrupts values. Bad company corrupts good character.
Like the Ryan in high school is not the Ryan now.
Right. And a big part of that was, you know, the people I hung around with.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth. Like,
who can't, well, not can't, but didn't choose to speak truth into you. Like, I feel like the best friendships are the people who will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Right. And that's not to anyone's fault in high school.
Oh, no, I'm not just jabbing at anyone at all. I mean, there have been seasons of my life where I've not been able to speak truth into people and fed into, I mean, gossip is a big addiction. And heck, that's something that I've been like, you good, bro?
Yeah, stretching my neck.
Oh. For those listening, Ryan just bent down and looked like he was about to fall off the bed. But
we ain't got no back on these things.
But the background is so pretty, though.
It's a nice background.
Anyways, we're losing. I just want to wrap it up with this. I just want to put a little bow on this. But the enemy is not going to come after a weak horse. So the stronger you get and the farther you get from your addiction, the more he's going to try to throw temptations your way to bring you back to that place. And the power of the Lord is so much stronger than any stronghold. Or any addiction that has a hold of you right now. It's temporary, but the love of the Father and the freedom that he gives you is eternal. And you can do this. You can get out of this. And if you are removed from that, my encouragement to you, and I say this with the most positivity that I can, is be so, you know, rejoice in the Lord and the freedom that he's provided you, but also stay alert and stay on guard. Like the Bible tells us to be alert, you know, put on the armor of God, because the fight never ends. And when we get comfortable is right when you put your guard down, and that's when the enemy can come in and try to tempt you again. So continue to fill your mind, your body and your spirit with truth, and you'll be a much stronger fighter.
That's so good.
Thank you. Anything you want to say?
I think that's great. Phone a friend, like,
yeah,
find believers in the church, find people that you can look up to. I would just say that.
And then date them.
Just the interruption queen over here.
I have so much on my brain. I'm sorry.
All right. I was about to just preach to y'all.
Go ahead. You're gonna finish. That was a compliment.
I would say, Jesus showers you in grace, even in your addiction. And not to say that you should stay there. I'm just saying that there is hope for you. And Romans 12:1 tells us, Paul tells us, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So take heart. He's overcome the world.
Yeah. Period.
Are we going to end on that? Are we going to end on highs and lows?
Oh, yeah. So you say you're high and low of the week.
I went up to Illinois this weekend and got to see all my friends. My friends from Rin Lake, where I played college ball with them.
Ball.
It was so much fun, though. It was awesome. Low was probably those 4 first half fouls. No. Probably being away from Abby for so many days. That was sad. That was low.
That's sweet. My low was the same. My low was feeling sad, but that was also
2 o'clock.
Yeah, but that was also kind of a high, because sometimes I like to be on an emotional roller coaster, and sometimes you just need a sad day. Like, it reminds me that I'm not a robot, and I'm learning how to untangle my emotions with Jenny Allen right now. So, anyways, but my actual low was just missing Ryan, and then my high was I got a lot of good moments this week. There were just moments where I was like, I love life right now. Whether that was spending time with Ryan or being at work or cleaning out my closet randomly. Interruption queen over here. We just had some good runs. Yeah, it was just a good week. Solid week. So anyways.
I said, I'm sorry, mama. Uh-huh. I never meant to hurt you.
Copyright. Anyways, if you want more That's Life content, you can head on over to the Instagram at That's Life Potty or check out our YouTube channel, which is That's Life
Pod.
Yeah.
Crumble Sunday, review will already be up,
crumble,
too.
Crumble review on the Instagrams. That's Ryan's little
idea.
He loves that. He wants to start making Ninja Creamy reels as well. The people will be loving that food content. If you want to get Sunday YouTube videos every week, go on the YouTube channel. And then you can also see the podcast every Tuesday. You can stream it online of what you're listening to right now if you're listening. And you can watch it online if you're watching. Then, hey.
Leave a like.
Hey from Ryan and Abby on Sunday.
This was a like.
Yeah.
Not one of those. Up.
And a comment. And turn on post notifications. And subscribe. And
this was a great episode.
Was a great episode. We were all across the board on emotions, too. Well, I was. I don't know if you were. I was.
That was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
Aw, me too. Good job, buddy.
Ding.
Partner.
Ding. I just made the editing noise for you.
Even have to put it in. Wow.
Abby's been killing the editing game.
You're so sweet. You're such an encourager. Thank you. You've been killing your basketball game and your opponents.
And the opponents.
Anyways, thank you guys for watching. I love you.
Jesus loves you.
Or no, we love you. Oh, she's still getting used to it. We love you.
Jesus loves you. And that's life.
Yes.
That was. Peace.
Love you.
Thank you.